Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to triathlete Alistair Brownlee, who won the Olympics in London 5 years ago. This year in Tokyo, he wasn't able to compete due to an injury. In this podcast, we're talking about what happened and what his new goals are for the future of triathlon. Hello, Alistair. Thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you very much for having me. At the moment, I am at home in Leeds in Yorkshire, UK.
Okay, but you just came from a really hot gravel race in Granada, but you're a triathlete. How does it fit together that you're training for triathlon and then switching to gravel bike?
Well, yeah, I am definitely a triathlete, but with races being cancelled and me having an ankle injury, I saw this year as an opportunity to do some different type of racing, which was great. You know, it's been really tough for me not being able to race as I'd like this year and with injuries, and that's been really, really mentally tough on me. But I thought, why not try and have a positive and do some of the different things that you've always wanted to do but never had the chance to do? And one of those was Badlands bike endurance event. I've never ever done anything like that before in my life. I decided about 10 days before the race to do it. It's a 750 kilometers, mostly off-road, non-stop race around the south of Spain, starting in Granada. And it was incredible. It had 16,000 meters of climbing, went through deserts, over mountains, by the coast, spent all kinds of time through the middle of absolutely nowhere. I had no idea that you could be so rural in different parts of Spain, but I really enjoyed it.
Nice. But how is it for you as a triathlete from the UK, which is probably not the sunniest place in the world, going on the gravel race in Spain, which is super hot and dusty and completely different terrain than you used to?
Yeah, it was a big challenge, definitely. You know, I came from home and it wasn't particularly warm, and there was definitely points where I was out cycling in the event, and it was maybe even over 45 degrees, so it was really, really super hot at times. In the only kind of real desert there is in Europe, and I'm cycling straight through it. And you're right, yeah, very dusty, very challenging riding conditions. But mostly I was going obviously quite steady. You know, if you're pedaling for 750 kilometers, it took me 2.5 days, you're not pushing too hard. So as long as at one point I did actually have really bad cramp in my hands, but apart from that, I didn't really have any problems. And I just slowly and surely made sure that I had plenty of water. I was taking lots of salt in, and that seemed to mean that I was fine, just cycling along.
Okay. So slowly but surely, the sport of triathlon seems to pick up again, and many events are taking place even after Olympics. How does it look for you? Are you already able to race again, or have you already finished your season for yourself?
I'm hoping maybe to race at the back end of the year, but I've had a really bad ankle injury this year. I was training hard and everything was going well early in the year. I ended up having a really bad injury and having to have surgery on it, and I've been recovering from that ever since. And that's been physically and mentally really tough. With some of the big races, such as Ironman Kona, being postponed, I decided that there was no need to really, push this year, and decided actually to give my ankle time to get better and reassess. And so hopefully I've done that now. Hopefully my ankle is getting in a good position. And if I can race at the back end of this year, I will. If not, I'll focus on races next year.
Okay. So you were not able to participate in the main race in Tokyo due to this injury. So you were not able to get another Olympic title. How hard was it for you, especially after last year the Olympics got postponed and this year your ankle injury happened? And how did your ankle injury happen?
This year has been very, very challenging for me on lots of different levels. Training was going well and my ankle injury just came out of nowhere. It was very frustrating and I've struggled with it pretty much now for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So not only have I been trying to deal with it, but also had the difficulty of missing races, and that's what I love doing and that's what I want to be able to do. So it's been really, really tough to cope with that, definitely. But it has given me the chance to do some of the kind of gravel racing that I haven't had the chance to do, wouldn't have got the chance to do otherwise, and that has been a positive. But I'm hopeful that it's looking better now. My ankle is improving and is going to be at the point where I can, race well on it soon. And I'm looking forward to nothing more than just getting back to doing what I love, which is training hard and being able to race.
Yeah, I mean that sounds pretty good that you're feeling that the ankle is getting better, and maybe it's also quite good for you after so many years of training hard and doing triathlon to getting reset and doing some other things you were not able to do otherwise. Do you think that helps you to be a little bit, come back a little bit fresher and with a different mindset?
I hope so. I've spent a lot of time in, as a professional sportsman now, and it's fantastic. It is very literally my childhood dream to be a professional athlete. And so I'm forever thankful for that. But at the same time, for me, I did sport before as a professional athlete, and sport is a massive part of my life and always will be. And there's a load of competitions, events, challenges, whether that's gravel racing or many other things that I've always thought, oh, I'd love to be able to do that, but I haven't been able to because, you're training hard for the next race, or the race is coming, or you're preparing and it doesn't fit in with the training schedule. Mm-hmm. So it has been, it's been really nice to have the opportunity to do some of those things that I haven't had the chance to do before.
Yeah. So because of your racing success and everything you do, you're very well known in the sport. But far behind, beyond the borders of the sport, you became super well known because of a video where you dragged your brother, who was leading in the race, but almost collapsed in the last meters of the running, and you dragged him over the finish line. Why did you do that? And even if you lose some spots in your own race.
That was a crazy situation, and for us it was mad that people all of a sudden knew who Johnny and I were because of this this crazy situation in Mexico where I picked Johnny up and dragged him over the line. But for sure, obviously it was great for the sport of triathlon and great for that recognition. Why did I do it? It's almost impossible to answer this question. It happened literally in the blink of an eye. And You know, I was fully in the middle of the race modes. I thought this is going fantastic. Johnny was winning the race. It meant that he was going to win the world title. It was, you know, we'd had a long, tough year of racing, and I was really happy for Johnny and everyone. And then I get round the last corner, and Johnny is stumbling around, and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, I know what's happened. This is a disaster. And yeah, and then I decided, I'm like, right, I have to, you know, what can I do here to help Johnny, to get Johnny to the finish line? This is a medical emergency. And yeah, without really thinking about it, you know, I had one second of thought or not thought, I grabbed Johnny and started pulling him towards the finish line.
Yeah, so that was definitely a really big moment in sport. And the video is really often used outside of the sport as a best example of teamwork and sportsmanship. But how much teamwork is the sport of triathlon?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately you stand on the start line and you compete on your own. You know, everyone knows in triathlon you stand on that start line and you run into the water or dive into the water, and then you're really on your own. But I think, firstly, it takes a lot of people to help get you to that start line. And I'm really lucky to work with some fantastic people, you know, who support me and help me out, whether that's coaches, friends, physiotherapists, or the medical staff, nutritionists, physiologists. You know, it's fantastic. I'm fantastically lucky with who I get to work with, and that's a real honor. So I think, you know, that's where the real teamwork comes in, and the group of guys that I train with almost every day. But I also think yeah, you know, there is a little bit of team tactics you can play in the race, and Johnny and me, when we've raced together, you know, have tried to look out for each other and race in a way that helps each of us individually, but, you know, helps both of us. And yeah, I think there is a little bit of chance to do that, but not a massive amount. You know, it's not like professional cycling, for example.
Mm-hmm. But the teamwork is more before and after the race than in the race. So the teamwork happened when you can't see it, right?
The big majority of the teamwork happens when you can't see it. It happens when... Yeah, on like this morning, I was talking on a Thursday, and I've been to the swimming pool, and, you know, I've got people who come to the pool with me to train and help push me on in the lane next to me. I've got coaches on the side of the pool who turn up and are there with a stopwatch, taking and recording the times and telling me to work harder. I see a physiotherapist, you know, tomorrow, massage to help keep my body healthy. You see the coach in the gym who's working hard to also help keep the body healthy. A really big team of fantastic people around me. And you definitely, of course, you know, you need these people when you're training hard and you're training for the really big events. But I think the people who support and help you are most important when things don't go well, you know, when you have had an injury and you're struggling and you're trying to come back. Because that's not, as endurance athletes, I don't do triathlon and endurance sport to spend time in the gym or to spend time with the physio or any of those things. I do endurance sport because I like swimming, cycling and running. I love racing. I love being competitive. I love being outside. I love exploring. And so, yeah, I think you never need good people around you more than when things go wrong.
Yeah, that's well said. You're super lucky that your brother is doing this sport on a similar level than you. Do you use that and train a lot together, or are you both on a completely different schedule and training plan?
Well, most of the time, yeah, we do train together, even when we're training for different events. You know, a lot of our training is very similar, and so we do all the training we can together, and that's been a massive advantage for us in the past, because yeah, that's what we like doing. We like pushing each other on. We like being able to train with each other day in, day out. We're competitive when it gets to training, obviously, and I think that's important for both of us. We're very lucky in that way, and I look forward, obviously going forward to training with each other even more.
Yeah. So during the first Corona wave, it was really difficult for many triathletes to train, because especially swimming was a big issue with pools were closed and they were not able to swim. And you just moved your workout to a lake and you continued training. Did that affect your training in any way?
So there was a period when I couldn't train at all because we were in lockdown and kind of everything was closed and we weren't really leaving our house. Mm-hmm. And then there was a period where I got a very, very lucky to have an endless pool in my house. So I was using the endless pool and that was great. And I was really enjoying actually swimming in an endless pool every morning. And then we had the chance to be able to train outside in the lake, which is, I've actually swum in the same lake for 20 years pretty much. And we were going and swimming there every morning, a few of us, and it was fantastic. You know, the lake is really beautiful. And rather than normally I might do one or two sessions outside in the lake every week, I was doing 5 mornings a week in the lake, and I actually really, really enjoyed it. I think it was good for my swimming, and it's just a lovely way to start the day when it is sunny in northern England, as you know, which doesn't happen an awful lot. But when the nice sunny mornings when you're diving into a lake, obviously it's a little bit better than diving into a swimming pool.
Yeah, and with most of the races you do, the swimming is in lakes or in rivers or even in the ocean. Is it impossible for you to train in lakes, or it doesn't matter if you train in the pool or in the lake? Is there any difference?
Well, most of the racing I do is open water, lakes, rivers, sea, whatever. And I think it's important to have a balance of different training. I think, obviously you can't swim open water through the winter, so it's great to do that in the pool. I think it's better maybe for me personally to do really quality stuff in the swimming pool, because it's very measurable and I know exactly mm-hmm. how fast I'm swimming, and I can adjust that to swim exactly the right pace that I want to swim for that particular effort level, and to do the session to the best of my ability. If I'm doing a session like I'm doing this morning, I'm trying to really specifically get the right kind of pace, right within a second per 100. You know, it's something I work mm-hmm. really hard on. And you can't really do that in the open water. But yeah, I think the balance is important. So in the summer, I really like the kind of combination of swimming about 3 times a week inside and 2 times a week outside. And I tend to do my more aerobic, long, steady swimming outside and my harder swimming in the pool, because it's a bit more measurable. But mm-hmm. I have done lots of the harder swimming outside and I enjoy doing that as well.
When it became clear that you would not be able to compete in the Tokyo Games, you announced that you would now concentrate more on the longer distance. Why decide you to do this change?
I'd already been competing a bit at the longer distance for quite a bit of time. After the Rio Olympic Games, I decided, I wanted a change of focus. I'd been racing World Series triathlon for over a decade and going to free Olympic Games, I thought it was a great opportunity to do to concentrate more on the longer distance, and that's fantastic. I've been a triathlete since I was 8 years old, I think, and so I've known about long distance racing and Ironman, and it's something that almost all the way back then I wanted to do. So it was very much a natural progression for me. So yeah, it's something that I was motivated to do, and yeah, going forward, I want to try and do long distance racing and Ironman to the best of my ability.
So when I think of triathlon as a completely triathlon outsider, I always think about the Ironman and all the athletes like Frodo and all the people around. What is the attraction of the Ironman distance?
That's a good question, because it seems a bit crazy, doesn't it, really? I think, you know, I've been a triathlete my whole life. It's a massive part of my life, and it's the long distance triathlon is, you know, it's a challenge in itself just doing that distance. It's got this kind of mystical history about it, of where the sport of triathlon came from, and I like that. And it brings in so many challenges, you know, the physical challenge obviously of being fit enough to go fast and race at that level for 4 or 8 hours. There's the technical challenge, I think, of aerodynamics on the bike, which is something I really enjoy, and I think, yeah, I've really enjoyed that. The obviously it's important Olympic, but it's a lot more important to try and save a few watts here or there, whether it's aerodynamics or rolling resistance. Obviously, working with the tires, mm-hmm. to have the lowest rolling resistance and aerodynamics you can, because 1 or 2 watts here or there make quite a big difference over 180 kilometers, and you don't want to be putting in any more effort than you have to. And enjoy that technical challenge. I've enjoyed the technical challenge of really trying to maximize nutrition as well, because over an 8 hour race, nutrition becomes really, really important. If you get that wrong, you're not going to keep going for 8 hours. You're going to get in problems very quick. And so maximizing your ability to absorb and metabolize energy. And I've enjoyed those physical, technical, and scientific challenges.
Mm-hmm. And how hard is the mental factor of an Ironman? Because on the normal triathlon, it's still long, but it's okay. But on the triathlon, I mean, if you come from the bike with 180 km and then still have to run a marathon, so how hard is it to get out of the lows you will definitely have during the race?
You definitely have good periods and bad periods in long distance racing, and I think you just have to keep your head down and keep going, and yeah, not worry about it. For me, trying to break it down and trying to be very objective and about it, it helps. So that might be, you know, for example, if you're on the bike, I'm just telling myself, right, I just need to keep pedaling at this watts. What time am I in? Right, in the next 5-10 minutes, I need to try and drink this much. I need to eat this much, and just try to be really kind of focused and objective and clinical about what I'm doing when. That's what's worked for me best. Mm-hmm. Although I will say I haven't done too many Ironmans yet, and I'd say I've only done one quite well, so I probably need a bit more experience before I tell other people exactly what's worked for me.
Okay. But focusing on the longer distance, how does this will affect your training?
I think the difference between long distance and short distance training, I think for me, about I'd say 80% of the training is the same. You're training for an endurance event, and basically most of that is training, I guess, for aerobic efficiency. So relatively low level endurance training, quite steady. When you're doing intensity, you're doing that pretty hard and infrequently. I think the kind of main differences for long distance events is obviously you want to be able to ride in the bike position and put power out in an aerodynamic position. And I think So training for time trialing and constant effort while time trialing is something that I've put a lot of time and effort into in the past, and really focused on that. And I think that that's really important. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for the really long distance, so Ironman distance, nutrition becomes really important, and training to get the nutrition right, I think, is important. And so that I'd say they're the kind of two main differences. But outside that, for me, again, I haven't done that many of them.
Yeah.
And I probably should do more successfully. But yeah, for me, that's the two main differences that I've kind of done so far.
Okay. And what are your goals for the rest of this season and for next season?
Well, for the rest of this season at the moment, I'm really focusing on just getting the ankle fit and healthy. You know, that's my goal, and then being able to train as hard as I can, and then focus on being fit and competitive next year. So that's what that's my focus at the moment. And but if things do go really well, and you know, maybe I shouldn't get too ahead of myself after such a hard year, but if things do go really well, it'd be fantastic to be able to be able to race at some point this year, maybe in December, but we'll see. But next season, two main things that I've got: the Sub-7 project, which is really interesting, and that's to do an Ironman in under 7 hours, and so I'm working hard physically and technically on that project. And so, yep, to do an Ironman under 7 hours is my first main aim, and also to win the Ironman World Championships.
Okay. So that sounds really, really good, and I wish you all the best for, hopefully we see you racing already this year again. And I wish you a good training during the winter, and we will talk next year hopefully again. So thanks a lot for your time, and all the best.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.